And it's time again for our regular chat with the ethicist, Randy Cohen. He writes the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine. And for those of you who cannot get enough, he also appears here with us every other week. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Steve.
Now, I know that 2 weeks ago we talked to a very principled young man who'd just been promoted to supervisor in a pizza joint. He just caught his best friend smoking dope on the job, and he was trying to figure out what to do. Randy, remind us what your advice was, because we need to talk about this just a bit more.
Well, I saw there being two issues here. One was the justice of the rule, the wisdom of the rule itself, and the second was his obligations to enforce it. And as a manager of the place, he has a duty to his boss to enforce those rules, so he has to bust his friend, unfortunately. And then I went on to say that I thought in many jobs there was absolutely no harm in anyone smoking a joint now and then. By these jobs, I do not mean airline pilot, where you might be a genuine danger to yourself and others. And that I thought if you had to work behind the counter at a pizza place all day long, there should be some government program that provided you with pot.
And we found out in the end that this guy was actually a driver. He was actually delivering pizzas, and that changed your view of things.
No, it didn't change my view. My view was always that the manager had to report him, and I made it clear that if he would be a danger to himself or others, then the rule was a wise one.
Okay. All right. Randy has explained his ruling, and we got a lot of mail about this, and that's why we wanted to talk about it a little bit more. I want to read a couple of these letters if I can. Bernard Friedlander of Madison, Wisconsin writes the following. While this modern attitude about enforcing rules seems humane, this attitude that perhaps smoking pot is not always that bad a thing or something that there should be a rule about, it very seriously subverts and erodes the responsibility of the boss to deal with issues about which the assistant, the guy who wrote us, may have no knowledge or responsibility. This case is much more important, Mr. Friedlander writes, much more important than simply whether or not a momentarily thoughtless kid should get fired from delivering pizzas. And let me read one more letter here from Danny George in West Virginia, who points out that managers who allow employees to smoke pot on duty run the risk of lawsuits. He writes, the thought of suits from those injured by lucky intoxicants is enough to give nightmares to any manager of a corporate business and torment the mind of any small business owner. So, Randy, what do you think now?
I continue to think the same thing, although I'm somewhat surprised that your listeners don't listen more carefully. Bernard Friedlander seems to be suggesting that I said that the manager didn't have to enforce the rule, but I said quite the opposite, that if he's an officer, he has a duty to his boss to enforce the rules. That's part of his job. If he were an enlisted man, he would have a very different relationship to his coworkers and would not necessarily have a duty to report wrongdoing.
What you did say that seems to have gotten a lot of people riled up was that it was a dumb rule. Essentially.
Oh, yeah, I do think it's a dumb rule.
And I also raised, as I recall in that interview, the question of legality, whether a business should be prohibiting pot simply because it's illegal. You sidestepped the question at the time, but Danny George throws it in your face once again.
Wait, this knife in my heart, I think it belongs to you.
You said it's not my concern. You said my concern is ethics, not legality.
Yeah,
but Danny George says, look, practically speaking, I mean, it's illegal, and so managers have to do something about it.
As I agreed, that the manager does have a duty to enforce the rules. That's part of his job as a manager. There are two different points. The manager's duty to report a violation of the rules and the wisdom of the rule.
Randy, we need to move on, but before we do you need to take a smoke break?
You know, I've lived drug-free since 1978, I should say. I'm sick about it, but there you are.
Okay, all right. Moving on to a different vice, if we may. A gentleman we're going to call Bill, although he asked us not to use his real name, has some interesting new neighbors, and he writes, I live in a small, conservative, rural town with tree-lined streets, sidewalks, volunteer firefighters, the whole bit. He writes, we have some new next-door neighbors, a man and wife and their 8-year-old son. Apparently, they are in the adult video production business. Nothing too rude, mind you, nude modeling and such, but still. And the question Bill has is as follows. Ought I clue in my neighbors about this? Did I mention that we have a 10-year-old daughter? Should we let her play with their kid? Heck, for that matter, I hesitate to share this info with my wife. She can be fairly judgmental. I am curious to know what my obligations are to my neighbors and community. And that, of course, is why he's written Randy Cohen. What do you think, Randy?
Bill describes himself as tolerant, but he certainly doesn't seem it to me that someone comes along with an unconventional job. And his question is, how much should we ostracize them? I'm not so sure they should ostracize them at all. That being in the sex trade itself gives no offense to me. He asked about his obligation to warn the neighbors, and I wasn't sure why he wanted to warn the neighbors. What did he want them to do? To shun this guy? To burn his house down? To drive him out of the community? I'm not sure what the consequences of this would be. And I should say, I believe he has no obligation to be the employment police for his community, but he's certainly free to discuss it. Gossip about our neighbors is a time-honored tradition in our country and a fine one. It's also called conversation. There's nothing confidential, I guess, about this guy's job, so why not talk about it? I mean, if we couldn't gossip about our neighbors, there'd be no Jane Austen novels.
Well, we have Bill on the line now, and he can help us gossip about his neighbor. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the letter, and thanks for coming on the line with us. Can I just ask, since most of your neighbors don't seem to know this guy's occupation, how did you happen to find
out? I'm guessing they don't. It was just that, you know, when they were moving in, I was helping the guy get loaded and get loaded. I was helping the guy load his stuff into his house. And I saw the name of his production company on his vehicle, on the side of his van. And he had mentioned that he was a videographer. And I'm kind of interested in learning more about video and such. Not that kind, but in general. So I just out of curiosity, I looked up his production company on the web. And then I started to think about, well, golly, you know, what kind of people are going to be coming by?
Bill, can I ask if you've been watching the kinds of people that come and go?
Not really. I've been driving around. I've been exceptionally busy the last couple of weeks, barely been home. But I haven't seen any unusual activity, no.
Does that answer your question in a sense, in that there doesn't seem to be a big change in the neighborhood?
That's a very good point, that I should, and what I'm hearing from Randy's comments also is that, you know, suspend judgment until I have some idea of exactly what these folks are doing and how I feel about that.
So what are you going to do?
I think judging from what Randy says, I think it makes a lot of sense. Go ahead and get to know them, and find out more about what find a little bit more about what they do. You know, go ahead, bring the casserole over. You know, say welcome to the neighborhood.
Let your 10-year-old play with the 8-year-old and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know, but I think the wise thing to do is, you know, just to keep the knowledge I have under my hat.
Well, the whole discussion is slightly confusing to me because I live in Manhattan and we don't know any of our neighbors. Casserole? What's that? Neighbor? Talk to your neighbors? This is all just crazy talk. But I admire your tendency to be tolerant.
Bill, thanks very much for your letter and for your call.
Great. Thank you very much for your advice, Randy.
Bye, Bill.
Love it.
If you're feeling ethically unsure, all you have to do is drop us a line at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line and be sure to include a phone number where we can reach you. You might get to discuss your vices with Randy himself. Randy, thanks.
I probably won't even consider them vices, but thanks.
Apparently not. Bye-bye.